You're listening to the British Baseball Podcast. This week's roundup show is brought to you by Dugout Classics, the place to go for all your retro and vintage baseballs, jerseys, tees, and baseball cards. New stock added regularly, but if you can't see what you're looking for, then why not ask Jason to see if he can find the perfect item for you. Head over to www.dugoutclassics.com and see for yourself. Hello, baseball family. Matthew here again with another roundup of this week's British baseball action. I'm going to start off the roundup in the NBL division, where the London Capitals took on the Lancashire Legends, the Essex Arrows took on the London Mets. The big news coming out of the NBL was the Lancashire Legends team got their first win of the season, and on Saturday they fought a hard battle contest with the London Capitals, winning their first game 7-4. But they weren't able to maintain that momentum in game two, and they went down 18-2. And here to tell us a little bit more about the game is the Legends head coach, Jonathan Rodriguez. And joining me now is Jonathan Rodriguez, J-Rod from the Lancashire Legends. J-Rod, talk us through the first victory of the tournament.
Hi, Matt. How's it going?
Not bad, it was great.
Thank you. It was a great day for the Legends. We were able to come out and take the game to the London Capitals a little bit, and had a great pitching performance by Alex Deacon. He went 6 1/3 innings, and I think he struck out 5 guys. Only gave up 3 hits and just set the tone, and maybe took the Capitals by surprise. And, you know, that was the goal, because we played them the first day of the year. The whole goal was, when next time we play the London Capitals, they're going to be seeing a different team, and they went out there and did it. So it was great to see.
How have these Orcas grown then since that first game?
Oh, I can't even put it into words what they're doing out there. It's so special on so many levels, and everybody's kind of fighting their own battle. Like, maybe not fighting the battle, that's not a good way to put it, but like, they have their own road in the game and their path, and they have a stage. Everybody's got a different stage to where they're at right now. And it's just great. I told the team after the games yesterday when we played Sheffield, like, you guys come out here and you leave like 2 times better than when you came every single week and every single training session. It's like, just stay focused on that, and you know, the results will come with time.
Cracking. So it was a 7-4 victory in that first game. Who were the standout performers for you?
Yeah, like I said, Alex Deacon absolutely dealt. He's 17 years old. He was on the under 18s last year for GB, and he's pushing. We have a thing with our Legends, you know, because we have some of the best young pitchers in the country. Who's going to be the nastiest pitcher in the country, you know, by the time they're 20, who's going to take that role? And we have like Alex Deacon. Will Clayton had a great weekend. He came in for the save, actually got a 2-out save, because Alex, he's under 18, so he had the MLB the pitch smart rules limit. He threw like 102 pitches. So we went to Will, and he got the last 2 outs, and he actually threw 5 innings, 3 games, 5 1/3 innings this weekend, and didn't give up an earned run. And so he had a great weekend, Will Clayton. So he's in the running for nastiest pitcher. We have guys like Nate Simmons. You know, we have just some incredible young men. I'm probably forgetting a couple of them, Django Hendrickson. But anyways, from that first game, Alex Deacon on the mound just took command of the game. And then Luke Hand got 2 hits. I believe Angel Chara, our catcher, got a couple hits as well. So it was a great performance. I mean, we came out and scored like 3 runs in the first inning, and kind of rattled them, and our pitcher got into a rhythm and never looked back. And that's baseball. That's taking the game to your opponent. And they actually got control of the game and did it. And that's something we've been working towards.
What do you think were the key moments then in the victory?
There were some, we got out of some jams. I think Miggy Rodriguez late in the game, and he's come and solidified our offense as well, and our team. He's an under 23s player. He was out in Prague with us, and he was on that great group of the U23s last year at the Euros. So he's come in, and he got a couple big knocks for us. He kind of put us ahead. You know, he had a 2 RBI single later in the innings that kind of got the game out of reach and really gave us that last push of momentum we needed to actually secure the victory, which for these kids to do at their age and how far they've come is, you know, like to have that like killer instinct as a team, that's the Orca mentality. And like, it showed. So like, I don't know what to say. These kids are amazing. And there's so many of them that did well and just did their little part. We made plays. We played catch. We hustled on and off field. We created the good tempo. And that's, you know, we had some standouts as far as the stat sheet goes, but every single guy in that dugout and on that team created that whole vibe that brought us the win. I loved it. It was amazing. A great day.
Awesome. And what did you say to them after the victory? Was it seen similar to when you beat the Dutch with GB?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, when we beat the Dutch GB, like I get emotional, you know, and I definitely, with the Dutch, like, players were crying and families, you know, who had been through it since under 15s, just getting, you know, just all the bad luck against the Dutch, and for them to overcome that hurdle and be there for that, it was definitely the same kind of vibe, you know, in definitely a shorter period of time. It's like 4 weeks we've been out there. So, but they overcame that hurdle where we were having trouble competing on the NBL level. Like, let's face it, look at the scores. And it's just started, you know, it's kind of started out here, and they're just getting tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter with the game. So, you know, I just told them, stay with it. And soon, you know, the idea and with players individually and as a team, it's not to like, get to a certain level, it's to move through a certain level. So it's always the next goal. Like, what do you want to do? You want to conquer the NBL and you want to get a grasp on NBL competition, but at the same time, we're teaching you to go to college in the States or be an elite European baseball player or play for GB and be able to handle that environment. So we're trying to move through the next level, and that's what I told them. You know, enjoy it right now, this is awesome. I kept the baseball. I said it's going in the Legends Hall of Fame, which is actually a thing. And I have all the baseballs from all the big moments, and just, you know, said hats off to you guys. You guys did it. And, but this isn't the goal. This is just one little step in it. And, you know, we got to stay hungry.
Yeah. Game two, not so looking at it, it was 18-2 to the Capitals. Do you think it was the high from the victory that may have distracted them a little bit, or were the Capitals really on form in the second game?
No. That's a good question. They were definitely on form, but there was definitely a bit of letdown. And, you know, I told, there's just so many things in this game. Like, we talk about like the fibers that make up the game. And one of those little fibers is how to handle a win, and especially an emotional win, and how to come back from that and still create the mindset and be able to repeat that mentality. You know, that nobody talks about the game after the Dutch with the U-23s, where I think we got beat by Germany 13-2. And so it like transcends all levels of baseball. It's a skill that you need. And obviously it was something that we didn't bring to the, well, actually we did bring to the second game because we scored 3 runs in the top of the first inning, but we weren't able to hold on to, you know, we kind of let down. And, you know, that's a part of the growing experience. And that's something that's going to help us, like I said, be good on all levels, that it transcends all levels of the game, just having that consistent approach to baseball. And that's what a lot of these teams that we're playing in the NBL with older, more experienced guys, they have that, they've developed that. But our team, that's what we're going for, is that consistency.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. J-Rod, all the best with the rest of the tournament, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Take care, Matt. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And in the Sunday games coming out of the NBL, the Essex Arrows beat the inform London Mets 2-0 in game one, and were inches away from another victory in game two, but they were able to get over the line, and the Mets came out winners on that one, 10-9. And that means that the Mets stayed atop of the league, with the Capitals being in second place, the Essex Arrows in third, and the Legends are still at the bottom, but they have a win now against the name. Great to get off the board. Well done there, everyone involved. Moving on to the AAA division, I only have 2 games to report on there, and both of them were forfeited games, so the wins go to the Essex Redbacks over the London Marauders. And in the AA Central, we have two games there, the doubleheader between the Longeaton Storm and the Birmingham Bandits, with the Storm winning both of their games 10-3 and then 18-5. Moving on to the AA East, the Norwich Iceni took both games on their Sunday with 7 runs to 4 over the London Sidewinders and then a 17-7 win in game two. And here to tell us a little bit more about their games is the Iceni outfielder, Andreas Johannes.
Coming now to talk us through the two Norwich Iceni versus London Sidewinders games is the outfielder and coach for Norwich Iceni, Andreas Johannes. Andreas, hello.
Hello, hello. Hi, pleasure, Matt.
Welcome back. Goodness.
Where to start? I mean, we had an amazing couple of games against the London Sidewinders. And first and foremost, we'd like to say a big thank you for them making the journey up to Norwich. I know it's never easy, particularly a couple of hours drive. But, you know, everyone, you know, ourselves included, was in phenomenal form today. And just a big thanks to them. Yeah. So to start you off with the scores, the first game, we started off with a Norwich Iceni win. It was 4-7 and a little bit closer than maybe the scoreline suggests. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a sec. But then we've got the second game, which really it was pretty much a runaway. In the first inning, our guys just continued to pile on the hits, bunch of walks, and just solid plate appearances all around. So at the end of one inning, it was already 10-1, and we just kind of ran with it from there. But to go back to game one, yep. The 4-7 victory, just it was a bit back and forth to begin with. We had a couple of guys trading runs early, and our starting pitcher, Tom Thornhill, who is very much a pitch to contact guy. He did that extremely well today. Went out there and just tried to mix it up through the occasional curveball, a little bit of a slider, and then just mixed in his fastball whenever he could, and just really kept him off balance. But I think the overarching theme really, and is everyone came to play defense. And that was very apparent, especially in the first match. You know, both teams really making sure that all the ground balls, all the fly balls were being tracked down left, right, and center. And so you really had to scrap in order to get on base if you wanted a leg out, an infield single or whatever. Yeah. So just generally, you know, applause to both sides on that. And really where things got blown open was sort of the bottom of the third. When we were tied at 3-3 and the Iceni put two more runs on the board via a mixture of singles, a big run scoring double, and some stolen bases that just all capped things off perfectly. And again, Tom took game one, just ran with it, and we were really happy that he provided us a little bit of length with regards to his pitching. So,
yeah.
My hat's off there, and really a shout out to him on that.
Any MVP?
Regards to game two, though.
Sorry, any
MVP? putting me on the spot, here, Matt. I'll be honest. It's been a long time since we've had a pitcher give us this kind of performance, and while I'd love to be able to give Tom the MVP, I think he knows deep down that he really pitched the game of his life. So I'm going to have to give it to him. But a huge props to everyone on defense for actually enabling him to get that deep.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep.
And you said game two was, you said at the start there, that the first inning was really where you set your foundations for that victory.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, whenever you can have a 10-run first inning, you know, you're just going to want to try and make sure that you don't let up after that. And I think for a couple of innings there, we got a little lackadaisical, sort of eased up on the pressure there, and that sort of allowed them to open up that game again. But
yeah,
still, you know, considering that I think the score there was around about 15-7.
I've got down as 17-7 for the ice.
Yeah. 15-7 towards the end of the fifth inning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you're that crucial base knock away from being able to get that 10-run lead back and make sure that you just run with it then. But yeah. that's where we had some really phenomenal running grabs. One from our Spanish rookie Valentin, who tracked a ball into foul territory, hung on to it, and just really great job out there. And you could tell he got a lot more confident towards the end of the second game as well. Also cool. Had a couple of base knocks. So, but I'm probably gonna have to give the MVP simply on the basis that we aren't a big hitting team, but our first baseman Phil Walmsley has been aching to hit a home run, and he just absolutely got into one during that big spot, that first 10 run inning. And I'm absolutely gutted to say that we don't have footage of it, because off the bat, that majestic fly, and he knows, but we'd love to be able to share his exploits with the world. So maybe next time.
Yeah, maybe next time. I'll take your word for it. Was there any point there when the sidewinder started to get back into it that you got a bit worried?
Oh, I mean, to be honest, especially towards the fourth and fifth inning, when our momentum kind of slowed down a little bit, they were probably a couple of base knocks away from really getting back into the thick of it. And that's where you just have to play good defense. And our guys did. You know, they rose to the occasion. They could have sort of rested on their laurels and said, all right, we're done. We're completely gassed. But they just kept on pushing. And you could tell that everyone was happy with their performance, because it just all came together nicely right there at the end, with us being able to take that mercy rule and drive in those last couple of runs for the walk-off.
Yeah, nice. Well, Andreas, thank you very much for your time, and wish you best luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. Pleasure, Matt.
And also in that division, the MK Bucks, in their first game against the Cambridge Monarchs, won 6-0 in their opener and took the win in game 2, 6-4. No change in leaderboard there, with the Bucks staying top on run difference, with the Iceni in second place. The Sidewinders stay third and the Monarchs stay fourth. Double A South and the London Musketeers took on the Richmond Dragons in their doubleheader. That started with a draw, as both teams scored 5 runs apiece in game 1. But game 2 belonged to the Musketeers, as they took home a 16-3 victory to see out the first month. Guildford Mavericks took on the Croydon Pirates in the Double A South division, where both teams took 1 win each. The Pirates taking game 1 11-4, and the Mavericks taking game 2 12-6. The Musketeers are on bye this week, but they moved to the top of the league due to Richmond's defeat. So it's the Musketeers on top, the Richmond Dragons, Croydon Pirates, Guildford Mavericks, and then the South Coast Pirates. On to the AA Southwest, a league that never fails to produce entertaining baseball. The Badgers faced off against local rivals BC Vitero in 2 closely contested games. Game 1 going the way of the Badgers, 8 runs to 6. And then game 2 also going away to Badgers with 14-11. The Bournemouth Bears were back in action this week, but unfortunately they weren't able to overcome the high-flying Rebeldes, as they lost both games 12-2 and 12-0. The Rebeldes now leapfrogged the Vitera to go to the top of the league with 7 wins and 1 loss, with Vitera on 5-3. Badgers there at 2-4, and Bournemouth Bears yet to get off the mark with 0-6. Single A Central, Brighton Jets return to action against the Richmond Dukes. The Dukes looking to climb off the bottom of the table, and in game 1 against the Jets, they almost did it, narrowly losing out 7-6. And in game 2, Brighton Jets doubled the amount of runs scored by the Dukes by winning 16-8, extending the lead at the top of the single A division with 6-0, with Bracknell Infernal there second, Guildford Millers there in third, and the Dukes remaining bottom in fourth. Single East saw 2 undefeated teams going head-to-head, as the Forest Glade Redbacks hosted the high-scoring Essex Archers. Would any team come out of this with a continued win streak? Game 1 saw the Redbacks narrowly winning a thrilling 11-10 victory. And in their second fixture of the day, the Archers went down again, losing their perfect scoring record 4-10. The Mustangs bounced back from last week's defeats to win both of their games against the London Minotaurs, 9-3. And 13-5. The Redbacks now overtake the Archers to go top of the Mustangs, despite having 118 runs they remain third. The Minotaurs are yet to win in the tournament and remain bottom, but this is baseball. You never know, a bounce back could happen next week. Single A Southeast Division was back in action this week with the South Coast Sea Dogs taking on the Kent Buccaneers A team in their doubleheader. Both game one and two belong to the Buc A's, as they won 19 runs to 3 in game one and 15 runs to 3 in game two. The Mariners, the Kent Mariners hosted the Tonbridge Bobcats in their doubleheader, and both teams walked away with a victory apiece, with the Bobcats taking game one 14 runs to 11 and then the Mariners winning game two 15 runs to 7. And there's no change in the lead there, as the Kent Bucs A's stay top with the Mariners second, Tonbridge Bobcats third, and the South Coast Sea Dogs at the bottom there in fourth. Two games to talk about in the Single A Southwest Division. Derbies don't get any more local than this, as the Bristol Buccaneers took on the Bristol Bats in two of the high scoring games of the tournament so far. The Buccaneers scored an impressive 10 runs in game one, but were eclipsed by the Bats' 25 runs, so they lost out on that 25 runs to 10. And then game two saw the Bats take another massive lead with 33 runs to the Bucs' 5. And here's to tell us about this game in her debut is the Bristol Buccaneers, Jo Lenton.
Yeah, how was your debut?
And it was great. It was really good fun. But the kind of main thing for me was trying not to get too nervous and then speaking to as many people as I could really to get some advice. But I think there's also a bit of a fine balance with getting too much advice and then just kind of going into it relaxed and comfortable. So I just asked for some of the current players, really. You've had a bit more experience, just what kind of things to look out for and focus on the day, really, without trying to focus on too many things at once, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So what was the best bit of advice then that you received for yesterday?
When you're at the plate, just kind of relax and wait for your pitch, which sounds easy, but actually in reality, it was quite difficult. And then out on the field, really, just kind of the main advice that everyone was seemed to be giving, really, was just expect the ball to come to you and just try and decide if it does, what you're going to do with it early, really. And just try and relax. I think that's really important. Yeah.
So do you want to talk us through game one from yesterday?
Oh God, it's all a bit of a blur, to be honest. It was a bit of a baptism of fire, as they say, but in both games, actually, because it was for a lot of people, it was our first ever experience on the diamond itself. So we scored a few runs, which I think was a good thing. We conceded a few runs, but literally together, we've only had a few training sessions. So as a team, I think everyone did really, really well, to be honest. And we lost game one, might have lost game two a little bit as well. But I think as we went along, it all got better and better and onwards and upwards, I think.
All right, lovely. So what takeaways are you taking?
Takeaways, enjoy it, because it was actually really, really good fun. Although I'm so tired today. Every single part of my body from top to bottom hurts. But I think in terms of a takeaway, I think it's everyone supported each other. And I think that was the key thing. We were rookies, you know, we made mistakes, but there was so much encouragement. I think it kind of just got everyone through it, really. And we're all desperate to play the next game now.
Awesome. I believe you're involved in quite a nifty play as well.
There's a few random things going on. I mean, I started off the first game in second base, but by the second I came on in centre field, which was a new experience. But we had this MLB inspired moment. I don't know where it came from, but it came to me in centre field. I relayed it to Molly, who's played for a while, and she's really good and supportive. And she then launched it to Richard at third base. And then it was just awesome. He managed to throw it to home plate and we got someone out. So it's one of those things you can't really practice and it just kind of happens.
So clear. Awesome. Nice. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time and keep in touch with us. Let us know how you get on with the rest of the season. I wish you all the best.
Cool. Thanks very much.
No problem. Take care.
Cheers.
Over now to the West Midlands Baseball League. Worcester Sorcerers took it to the bottom of the league, Stourbridge Titans, winning 16 runs to 0. Which enforced the mercy rule and ended the contest in the sixth inning instead of the full nine that they play in the West Midlands Baseball League. And here's pitcher Luke Borton throwing a no-hitter, and to tell us more about it is Luke himself.
And joining me now is pitcher from the Worcester Sorcerers Baseball Club, Mr. Luke Borton, who threw a no-hitter today. Luke, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, Matt.
So, great victory for you today. It was 16-0. Do you want to talk us through the highlights of your game?
Yeah, so I mean, we got off to a pretty good start. Obviously, the first inning we had three runs, so that obviously put us in good stead. And then the batters went down 1-2-3 and got onto a good rhythm then. Obviously, this season we've got the mercy rule in place, so it doesn't go too far. And that's obviously what came into force today. So we have 10 runs up through six innings. So obviously, we cut the game short after those six innings. So, yeah.
And you normally play nine innings in your league.
Yeah, that's right. So this season we've got the 3-hour limit or the nine innings, whichever comes first. And our opening day, the one team went eight innings and the other team went nine innings. So it's just a good, authentic comparison to what sort of major league players play. Awesome. So you get this, try and get the authentic sort of feel of it, really.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. How is it throwing a no hitter today?
Weird. Very weird. I was actually one batter off a perfect game as well, actually. I didn't walk anybody. And actually, when we made a substitution at shortstop, the player who came in, the first ball was hit straight at him. And obviously, nerves not being a bit cold. So it went down on an error on his part. But in fairness to him, backed it up with two solid plays straight to first base. So, yeah, it's very, very weird day. Very good day, obviously. But, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I got the ball at home now, so all signs nice. And everything.
Oh, brilliant. That's cracking. Is that going in the trophy cabinet?
I think it will do. I'll have to order some, yeah.
Who would you say were the MVPs of your team today? You can say yourself if you want to. I would.
Do I be big? Say that? I don't know. We usually have, so this season for us anyway, we're doing like an MVP little thing. First week it was myself, and then last week is a player called George. And then this week we'll have a discussion and see who comes out. But our catcher, Bryn, also had a good day at the plate hitting. Went 4-for-4. I think it's 2 or 3 doubles. She had a good solid outing.
Yeah.
The guys all hit really well, actually, in fairness. I would say they all fielded well, but they didn't have to do too much. So,
got a nice work on the tandem. Excuse me. So, how are you going to prepare for next week?
So, just keep doing what we did this week. To be honest, we got a bit of a lesson last week against Telford, 49, I think it was.
Yeah.
Just a few too many errors in that. So we've got them again next week. Just a bit of redemption, really. We've got to cut those errors out, and I think if we do that, we've got a real chance.
Correct.
I think they won again today, actually, against Wolverhampton.
Yeah, looking
18-14.
Good.
14. Yeah, they're looking pretty strong. But we cut those errors out. I think we've got a chance. Yeah.
Great stuff. Well, thank you very much for your time, Luke, and I wish you all the best of luck for the rest of your season. Let us know how you get on.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Cheers, mate.
I'm Leslie, the East of England Baseball League. This week, quite a lot of games being played. The Northampton Centurions faced off against the Essex Redbacks. Their first game ended up 8-7 in favour of the Centurions. The Cambridge Royals had a little bit of a in-house game against the Cambridge Lancers, and that came out 13-11 to the Royals. And the Brentford Stags took on the Milton Keynes Bucks too, in a game that ended up 13-7 in favour of the Stags. Game two, the Redbacks came out on top against the Centurions, 14-3. And the Lancers got a bit of revenge there by winning 20-9. And the Stags came out again on top, 14-10 over the Bucks. So that's it again for this week's roundup. Thank you very much for all those coaches and players that gave me their time today. Really do enjoy having these little chats between players, meeting people for the first time virtually and having a nice chat with people from all over the country about their baseball clubs and the passion that is baseball. So if you'd like to come on to the show to do a roundup at any time, just drop me a DM on Twitter. It's at BritBaseballPod, or email the show at BritishBaseballPodcast@gmail.com. Just give me a little bit of a hello, explain who you are in your club. Always get permission from whoever is in the club that you... runs it, or coaches or management that you can come on and talk about, and I'd be happy to do a bit of a chat with you. And if you could subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube, we're nearly 100 subscribers. Ooh, 100. Which would mean a great deal to me because it means I can give the channel a proper name and not be 74QP capital N, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, that's it for me for this week. Stay safe and I'll see you next time. Ta-ra.